This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The chief UN nuclear weapons inspector, Mohamed El-Baradei, has praised Libya for agreeing to abandon efforts to develop weapons of mass destruction. El-Baradei met yesterday with Libya's leader, Muammar Gaddafi, in Tripoli. Following months of secret talks with British and U.S. officials, Libya has said it will abandon its attempts to obtain nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. Iran, too, has agreed to allow more aggressive international inspections of its nuclear energy program, which Tehran insists is for peaceful purposes. The openings in Libya and Iran are likely to have repercussions throughout the Islamic world, NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
After leading a team of UN inspectors to Libya, Mohamed El-Baradei said Monday that Libya has shown a good deal of openness so far in cooperating with the International Atomic Energy Agency. El-Baradei said his team's visit to four previously secret nuclear sites proved that the North African country had a fledgling weapons program that one IAEA official said was years away from producing an actual weapon. Libya's apparent new openness and Iran's recent agreement to allow more intrusive inspections of its nuclear sites is building a kind of diplomatic momentum on regional disarmament, says Alyssa Harris. Harris, who directed non-proliferation efforts on the Clinton administration's National Security Council, says the pressure now is on Syria.
Syria is suspected of having both a chemical and a biological weapons program and is not a party either to the Chemical Weapons Convention or the Biological Weapons Convention. If the British, together with the French and Germans, move on to Syria and try and work the concerns there, I think that will put pressure not only on the Syrians, but also on other countries that have programs or about whom there are suspicions.
Libya moved to end its international isolation and shed its image as a rogue state years before the U.S. overthrew Saddam Hussein, citing the Iraqi dictator's as yet undiscovered weapons of mass destruction. Still, Bush administration officials see the progress on WMD in Libya and elsewhere as the fruits of preemptive military action in Iraq and a continued hard line towards North Korea's and Iran's nuclear programs. William Potter, director of the Center for Nonproliferation Studies at the Monterey Institute, says the Iraq War had an impact on the timing of Libya's overtures.
Undoubtedly, they were affected by fears of hostile U.S. response. Although I'm not sure that that was a determining factor, it certainly entered into their calculations.
British diplomacy, however, proved key to re-engaging both Libya and Iran, says Alyssa Harris, who is now senior research scholar at the University of Maryland's Center for International and Security Studies. Harris believes the British efforts underscore the power of diplomacy over preemptive force.
It's very important to sort of appreciate the unique role that the UK is playing in trying to use diplomacy as an alternative to the use of force. It doesn't mean force or threats of force aren't important, but they are proving through their actions that diplomacy can be a very productive avenue to pursue.
The increased scrutiny of the Libyan and Iranian nuclear programs could further implicate Pakistan, which recently acknowledged that some of its experts, whom it termed rogue scientists, have transferred nuclear information and technology to Iran in violation of international agreements. The Monterey Institute's William Potter.
So it will be interesting, given what we know about Pakistan's activities with respect to Iran, to see whether or not the centrifuges, which apparently have been found in Libya, also can be traced back to Pakistan.
There are indications that Pakistan's president, Pervez Musharraf, is making some effort to crack down on rogue scientists. But Daryl Kimball, executive director of the Washington, D.C.-based Arms Control Association, says that may not be enough given the instability in Pakistan. He says the U.S. can and must do much more to prevent the spread of Pakistani nuclear technology and material. That scientists at the center of Pakistan's nuclear program may have provided illegal technology to other states, Kimball says, should be deeply disturbing to U.S. officials.
It suggests that President Musharraf does not have complete control of the nuclear weapons establishment in Pakistan. And it also suggests that the United States has been, to our own peril, been ignoring the proliferation potential in Pakistan because we want to maintain better relations with Pakistan in the war against terrorism.
Meantime, some believe that moving Middle East states that pose a threat to Israel into joining or complying with international weapons treaties could eventually put pressure on Israel to join the same nuclear and chemical nonproliferation pacts. Israel, believed to be the Mideast's lone nuclear weapons power, does not acknowledge it has nuclear arms. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.